and you're live. Wow, thank you, Kurt. I just love this church so much, and I'm always so happy to be here. And because I'm just excited about what I get to speak about tonight, and you know, just being able to think about God's love and what He's done for each and every for me, and I know you can look back and see what He's done for you. I just want to thank you again for letting me come and be here. This church is very dear to my heart, and we've gotten to be really close on the mountain. Some of your members have really encouraged me as we go hunt every year up in Walden, and we have some of the greatest times, I tell you. Times that we'll never forget, that'll go with us to heaven. And I just thank you for many of you coming out and being part of that. It's really a mountaintop experience. But I remember when this first church started, and praying for the church, and then being able to come back and speak, you know, at least once a year is like one of the highlights. I clear that off, and I pray that, dear Lord, let the church let me come and speak again, you know, and I want to be more part of you. And I'm so glad you have the Facebook page, and you let me be part of your Facebook page, and I get to go on there, and I try not to talk too much, but I see the prayer requests, I see what's going on, and I get to pray for you, and that's a joy. I wanted to reiterate what Mike Height said. I got to hear his lesson. So excited about that. Got to hear Brother Wayne Berger's lesson, and I was trying to listen to Sam Pace's lesson, but it didn't work for me, so I'll have to rework my technology and work on that a little bit. I love technology. I really do. And I'm probably a little addicted to Facebook because I love people. And I like making friends. In fact, I met someone here last year and we became Facebook friends. I think it was last year. Baxter Exum. He's a preacher somewhere back there. But he is like my brother. I mean, the guy does all the same things. He likes cutting wood. He likes, you know, snow. He likes shoveling snow. He's got a big old snow blower. He likes planting things, and we talk, and we have a great time. And so Facebook is a wonderful tool. It can be a bad tool. Believe me, I've struggled because I have gotten involved too much in politics in my life, and I got to be careful because I have a huge family. I mean, my mom has 14 other siblings, and I have over 58 cousins, first cousins, and we're all different. And I try not, my main prayer is I want to love all of them and not let anything divide us. And politics can divide, and a lot of things, religion can divide. And so I'm working on this love thing because it is the greatest thing in all of life. You know, we can't even imagine how much God loves us. Here's a thought that came to me several years ago, and then we'll have our prayer in a minute. But I just, once again, want to thank you for letting me be here. This is really cool. I was trying to think about how much God loves us. I do a lot of thinking when I'm driving. When I'm either walking, I got to move to be able to study. I'm one of those people that has to move. And I like driving, especially when I'm driving and I drive a mail route in northern Colorado. It's that side of the highway. It's not this side. But I get to think a lot and drive, and I listen to sermons and I listen to Christian music because I just love listening to good things. But I get to think a lot, and I was trying to think about how much God loves us. And we can't quantify it. God loves us so much. And I was thinking about all the good things in my life. I was thinking about my mom and her love and all the things that she did. And then my grandpa, my mom's father, he kind of raised me. He had 15 kids and 58, 60 grand, I don't know how many. But I was fortunate enough, unfortunate because of family situations. I lived and spent a lot of time with my grandpa, and he became kind of like a father to me. And he had kids about my same age, in fact, because when you have 15 kids and all these grandkids, it just kind of runs together, I guess. But I was kind of like one of his kids. And I got to spend a lot of time with him, and I didn't have a real close relationship with a father, but I had my grandpa. And I thought about all the tender times with him. And I still remember how he always had this certain cologne and how he would smell. And, And I always wanted to be with my grandpa. And they said of all the grandkids, I'm probably most like him in personality. And so we could talk forever. And he would tell me hunting stories. He'd tell me about Southern Colorado. And I just loved my grandpa. And I remember going to visit him up in Alaska and going fishing with the cousins. And I had a pair of cowboy boots that one of the members gave me. I never bought boots that people always given, you know, preacher stuff. And I had these special boots that a member gave me. And I had them for years. They were my preaching boots. They were really work boots, but I didn't care. They're kind of like the ones I have now, but he gave them to me. And they were even just a little small. One of my feet is bigger than the other. And I would cram that thing on because Jim gave that boot, those boots to me. Well, I took them to Alaska, and that's what I fished in. And they got, I mean, they got muddy and caked. And lo and behold, I put them on the porch, and I left them. I left them in Alaska. And they were pretty much worn out. The heels were worn out. They were just, you know, you'd think somebody would see those boots and they'd just throw them away. But I received a package and I couldn't recognize the boots. They were clean. My grandpa had taken them and had them resoled and put new. And that's just how my grandpa is. And that's how he was. I mean, he's just one of these people that just, you know, and one time a person made this mistake in the family. Said, well, your grandpa wasn't as good as you think he was. And he started telling me some bad stuff about my grandpa. And I got really angry. I said, don't talk about my grandpa. I don't want to hear the bad stuff. You know, I just want to know the good stuff. But if you think about all the tender moments with your spouse, with your kids, with your grandpa and your grandma, with all the good things, all that. And here it is. God loves you so much. He gave them to you. Isn't that beautiful? And we still don't know how much God loves us. God's love is amazing. And so I get to speak about that a little bit tonight. I feel very inadequate. But I hope that you'll go away loving God more, loving others more. And here's the big one. I was talking to a girl at King Soopers about a month ago, and she was, I don't know how this conversation came about. I was telling her she's doing a great job, and I try to encourage all the people, you know, and tell them they're doing wonderful, and just, it's a great day. When you're Christian, it's just great everywhere. The grocery store is great. The opportunities abound. And we got to talking, and she said, well, I was buying stuff for supper and singing. We have once a month supper and singing. We go buy food. And then we feed the folks. I get to cook at 6 o'clock, and then we sing. We just sing the whole time afterwards at 7 o'clock. We get to sing. One of my favorite things to do. And I was telling her about supper and singing. And I invited her. I gave her my card, and she said, "Well, I go to this big church," and she said, "But what's your church about?" And I said, "Well, it's about loving God, and loving others, and loving self." She said, "Loving self? What do you mean?" Yeah, you know, the first commandment, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And she had never listened to that or heard that. She thought I was New Age. She said, "Love self? What are you talking about?" She thought I was one of these people that was weird, you know, like, you love God and love others, but loving self? I said, "Yeah, it's in the Bible, you know, loving self." And she kind of got mad. And the conversation kind of ended, you know. But you know what? I found out, and I really think one of Satan's greatest things is to keep us from loving self. Now think about this for a moment. We'll go to the scripture in just a minute. God loves you. So why shouldn't you love you? You know, isn't that the reason you accept the gift of grace and salvation? So you can go to heaven? Isn't it self-preservation? Don't you not want to go there? See, because if you learn to help yourself be saved, then you can help others, right? But if you don't have love for self, that's why I think some people don't come to God. They don't love themselves enough to care about themselves. And Satan's got them. So that's something we need to really, I want you to pray about that and think about that. And now, loving self doesn't mean you're prideful, arrogant, you're selfish, it's just the opposite. It means you're going to be humble and loving and willing to suffer for others, like Jesus. So they come to Jesus. Let's have our prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here tonight. You've given us the breath of life. Not only that, you've given us life eternal, and you've given us your Son. We can never thank you enough, God. We can never understand that awesome love, but we want to try, and we want to spend eternity with you, Father. Help us now to really learn to love even more. Father, thank you for everyone that's here, because there is such a great amount of love represented, but we want to excel even more. We don't want to be content. We want to learn to love our spouses more. We want to learn to love our kids more. We want to learn to love the church more. We want to learn to love our neighbors more. We want to learn to love you more, God. To be like you. We ask you to help us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So before I get into the lesson, I wanted to do something, a follow-up for Mike. He didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it because I did it. I got here early because I was so excited. I got here early. I told Kurt I was going to beat him, but I got here early. I love the beautiful job you've done with the church building. So I take a picture every year. That's my tradition. I take a picture of the building, and I put it on my Facebook right away. And then I had to learn how to check in. So I spent some time walking around the building and saying, what? I'm supposed to check in. I'm going to check in. So I not only checked in that way, the old traditional way, I checked in the high-tech way. I learned how to check in. So if you have not checked in, I give you permission to take your phone out right now when I'm talking, because you can. I saw a girl today. She was running and running with her dog and talking on the phone. She was doing three things at once. You know, I was like, wow, look at that. She's doing three and did pretty good, you know. So you can take your phone out and check in tonight. I think that's really cool, because that is powerful what Mike said. You know, if you have 100 members and all of you encourage people to hear Kurt's sermon, what was the numbers? I'm not good at numbers. It was a lot, right? 100 times 100 or something like that. It was 10,000. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, but those smart guys, they know all the numbers. I just know how to tell you, just go ahead and do that. Please use the technology. Love people enough to use the technology God has given us to bless the world. And Facebook has blessed my life. I mean, I tell you, I got friends. I got people I want to see. And I probably won't get to see them this side of eternity, but in heaven, say, hey, we were Facebook buddies. Let's have this great reunion. Let's talk about it a little bit. So really cool. And Kurt, he really likes me, and I love him, and he loves me, but he doesn't love this about me, and I'm going to tell him myself. I've got two more guys coming to hunting camp this year. Yeah, he's one of these secret hunters. Oh, Marty, we can't tell people about this spot. And Virgil's looking at me too. He's like, oh boy, that guy. Big mouth Marty, you know, he's telling the whole world on Facebook, telling everybody our hunting spots. I got two guys from Mississippi coming. You know, one of them I met on an elk hunting site on Facebook, and he's just really excited. We're not going to charge him anything. I'm going to put him on, you know, some good spots and stuff, and I hope he gets an elk. I really do. And I told him I'll help him pack it out too. So we got that guy. We got another guy coming. I'm hoping to reach for the Lord. He's from Mississippi too. I love those Southern guys. They're really cool. And that guy's coming. He's bringing me some deer meat. So it's going to be a great. I know it's already going to be a great deal. And the other guy's coming to study in Fort Collins for a year. He's a friend of one of our former members that went back to Mississippi. So anyway, so all these neat connections. And so one of the things we do, if we love God, we take every... See, God made us to like... Some of you, how many of you like to garden? Any gardeners in here? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Gardeners, how many people like to fish and hunt? Any fisher or hunter? Okay. And that's all there is in life, right? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody like to beekeep? Kurt, raise your hand. Guys, raise your hand. Okay. So beekeepers, you know what? I was driving through town. I came early so I could kind of look at the town. And there was a place called the Beehive. So I backed up. I stopped. I backed up. I went in and guess what it was? It was a place where they cut hair. But I told them, hey, you guys have a great name. I really love your name. Oh, we're out of honey. I said, well, I got plenty of honey. So, but I just want to know you have a wonderful name. And right next to that store, how many of you like dolls? Anybody like dolls? Doll collectors? My wife's like a fifth generation doll collector, and there's a doll store right next door. So I took a picture, and I'm sending that to her, so she'll be here. You know, next time she'll come. She loves dolls. So, but God has all these things that we can grasp for Him. These are all fishing holes. These are all opportunities, and you have them. Something that you like to do, and I like to do too many things, okay? I have to narrow it down. My wife's always, I want chickens, you know. You can make friends with chickens, giving the eggs away and stuff like that. There's all kinds of avenues, and this dovetails into Wayne Berger's thing. We got to use all these things. So we love God and we love people. We want them to go to heaven. Okay? And so we use these things to show God's love, to share, and to build each other up. Let's go to our passage, our base passage. You know, this is a very interesting passage. I think about it almost every time I preach. And I've done a little bit of back study on this passage. It's the weirdest question I think you could ever ask Jesus of any Jewish man or any Jewish person. Why would you ask such a simple question trying to trick Jesus? How does this work? Because this is something that they were taught, you know, from the time they could even, my little grandson's going to be a preacher. You know, he's kind of like me, and his name's Atticus, and I'm teaching him already. I'm saying, Atticus, you know, go talk to that person. Atticus, you know, go shake their hand. Atticus, give me a fist pump and a high five. And man, he's picking it up really quick. He's way advanced. You know, I think he's going to be preaching here pretty soon. But they taught them little kids from the, they taught them this. This is like the first principle. This is like ABCs of religion. And it's just the weirdest thing that they would ask this. But I think it's God's plan that they would ask this. So we go to Matthew 22. Put my glasses on. And we pick up here in verse, I want to pick up here in verse 29. But Jesus answered and said to them, you know, they came with the question of how many wives and all that kind of stuff. You can read that. But Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the dunamis or power of God. You know, people that are religious and just have a form of religion don't really tap into the power of God. You are people that know how to tap into the power of God. And I want to encourage you to excel even more. Have a dynamic discontent for the power of God. But we go on here. And he goes on and he says, for it is in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage and are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard that, they were astonished at his teaching. Let me submit to you something. The reason, one of the reasons they're astonished is because he always taught truth. But he taught it with power and with love. No one has ever loved like Jesus. But when the Pharisees heard that that he had put the Sadducees aside, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him, teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? I missed this for years. I still, if someone could tell me afterwards, because we're all supposed to help each other, you know, people say, the preacher knows everything. No, we don't. You know, the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know, and we need you. We need all of the brethren to minister and help us. But here's something I want to ask you. Help me figure this out. This is like the most simple question. Why would they ask Jesus this question? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But here's the one. For this is the foremost and greatest commandment. But they didn't ask this question. He tells them this one. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when you look at the Ephesian letter, when you look at Ephesians 5, 20 and following, when it talks about the husband and wife, it says, you know, the husband is supposed to nurture and love his wife as himself. And a big problem with a lot of men, and maybe women as well, is they don't love themselves. They can't love their spouse. They haven't understood God's love for them. When we start to really, and we never get fully there, we'll never completely get there, but when we, in this life anyway, I don't know about eternity, but I know in this life, we'll never fully understand God's incredible love for us. But as we mature and we learn to start loving like God loves, we will learn to love our spouse. And you can ask my wife, I'm hard to love sometimes. You know, when you have a tigger running around the house, he's just jumping off the walls all the time, want to take on the world and do everything. She's like, Marty, you can't do everything. No, chickens are out. I'm like, but they're just chickens. Everyone says they're easy. Yeah, you know how people think they're easy. You know, Kurt keeps telling me, Marty, they're easy, really. But, you know, that's what they said about bees, okay? But and when I start something, I just love to just take it to the nth degree. So my wife knows me. And we got to learn to love people. Some of us are really hard to love, aren't we? And we're thinking, well, Marty, what about my spouse? You might be really hard. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about you, yourself. I think most of the time the problem starts right here. We think it's everywhere else, but it's right here. And so God tells us, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the whole law and prophets. I noticed the other speakers were always asking, how much time do I have? And I didn't ask, so I got a lot more than them. No, I'm just kidding, I know. I got 20 more minutes. I'm going to love you enough to stop on time. I've been learning that. So we'll stop on time. But here's that fundamental passage. If you don't learn anything but this, learn this. And here's what's really cool. I learned this a long time ago. It's a triangle. Here's God. Here's your spouse or the other neighbor or your spouse or whoever. And as you know, we're always expecting them to grow, right? We're always expecting everybody else to grow. But if they don't, if they never do, like the person that has an unbelieving spouse, well, I just wish they would grow a little bit. But it's not about them growing. It's not about me changing. It's not about me controlling. It's not about me. It's about me doing what God wants me to do. And so I really believe this. I believe with all my heart that if I make some steps toward being more loving, I know I'll get closer to God, but I also promise you get closer to the other person, whether they do anything or not. And we just got to keep believing that. Now, you know, there's some people that run away. There's some people that don't want to be loved. I understand that. But you did the best you could. That's what in the ultimate end, that's all that really God is looking for. And He loves you so much. Some beautiful songs out there about God's love. I mean, He loves us more than we could ever imagine. More than we could ever think. And so we need to run to God and not away from God. Because He loves us more than we'll ever know. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Wonderful church, Ephesus. I mean, you know, they had a great start. You read of the Ephesians elder in Acts 20. You read them in the book of Ephesians, but we read of them in Revelation. I mean, here's a hard-charging, powerful church, and man, they're working on things, and they're hating what God hates, and they're all out. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it says, to the angel of the church, Jesus is talking here. Remember, in chapter 1, his best friend on his earth is on his face. I love this. He sees the glorified Christ. John is on his face, but what does Jesus do? This is our God. He puts his hand on John. And he says, don't be afraid. Basically, John, I love you. Don't be afraid. I got something for you. I love you so much, John. I got a message for you. So chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lamps, it says this. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. This is a great church, isn't it? I love how God addresses it. He builds the church up. The Apostle Paul, have you ever noticed this? I love this about Paul. He comes even to the Corinthians. Corinthians had a lot of problems, didn't they? I mean, the Corinthians should give us hope, but remember, they lived in Corinth. That's not a good city to live in. I mean, it was really bad. But he built those brethren up. He loved them. And then he got to their problems. That's so important. And so God said, hey look, I know your deed. You're doing great. And all of these things. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. See, love does not enable people to keep doing wrong. I think Wayne touched on that. If we really love people, we really believe the Word of God, we've got to say something. I remember when I first became a Christian. I remember in study hall, I'd get my Bible out and I'd read it, and I was kind of afraid and embarrassed. Someone might ask me, and then people started asking me about the Bible. And, oh, wait, they're not throwing me out of here. They're not throwing us. They really want to know. And I remember Matthew, I think it's Matthew 10, 32. He who confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he who does not confess me before men, I won't confess before my Father who is in heaven. That scared me. Like, man, I need to find a way to start confessing Jesus. And that was more out of fear than love. 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out fear. So I've learned since. I don't tell people out of fear so much anymore. I tell people out of love. Because I love God and love them. And I love self too. So love motivates greater than any fear could. But God loves them and Jesus loves them. He says, but I have this against you. That you have left. What does your Bible say? You have left what? Your first love. Your first love. That's sobering, isn't it? We can get so on fire. We can get so we can say, God, I'm gonna take mountains for you. I'm gonna do all these things. And if you forget your first love, you forget Jesus. You forget your purpose. What good are we? Your salt has become non-salty. But here's the good news. Remember. Doesn't God always call us to remembrance? That's why you're here tonight. Some of you know this. You know these passages. But if you're like, the human condition is, we forget, don't we? That's why people are like, well, why do you go? You know, why do you have all them Bible? Why do you go to worship? Why? You know, God's design. Have you thought about this? God's design. First day of the week, they meet, they gather around the Lord's table. Why? The key word in 1 Corinthians 11, the key word in remembrance of what he did on that cross. To remember, we forget. And the person says, I can remember. No, you can't. We need a continual remembrance. And so he says, remember, therefore, for where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did it for us, or else I'm coming to you. I'll remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Did you see that? See how God talks to us? People have kind of gotten on to me and they said, Marty, you don't talk enough about hell. And I said, because I'm not going there. It's not my plan. I talk about places where I'm going. Now, Jesus does mention hell, and I go through those passages, but I'm not going to dwell on hell because, you know, as I get closer to heaven, I see heaven more. Some people get mad. I was talking to a lady. She said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. One day closer to goal, better than I deserve. What's that? It's a sermon. You know, I give sermons to people, and if they stop and ask, what does it mean? And I told her, she goes, what does a one day closer goal mean? I said, I'm one day closer to heaven. And she goes, that's kind of a morbid thought. I said, heaven? Morbid? Are you kidding me? And we kind of got into this little exchange in another grocery store scene. You know, I knew this lady from Risk Canyon, and she's supposed to be a religious lady. And I said, no, I don't think heaven's morbid at all. Life is but a vapor. We're here for a little while. And I'm almost there, and you too, hopefully. You know? And so, look at the way God ends this. He didn't say, and you're going to burn in hellfire forever. Look what he says. He says, this is Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. How many of you like fruit trees? Any fruit tree lovers in here? I should have been in California. I love nuts and I love fruit. And I want all nut trees, and I want all fruit trees. My family's like, he snuck another tree in. I've got peach trees. I got them hidden in my yard all over. And they don't do good in Colorado, but I don't care. I'm going to try to grow peaches. This year I had 5 peaches on one of my trees in my yard, guarded from the deer, and split ear. This old matriarch deer jumped the fence and ate 4 of them. But here's some fruit trees that those deer can't get to. You know, I love fruit trees. I love them. I'll plant fruit. I could be Johnny Appleseed number 2, but I'll do peaches, my favorite, and we'll do some apple trees too. But we'll just plant everything. We'll sneak them in. on people. And raspberry bushes and all that kind of, but here, look what God says. Here, look at this tree. I will grant to eat of the tree of life. Isn't that insane? God loves us, see? He loves us. And which is in the paradise of God. He wants us. Before we were even born, He chose us and He wanted us and He loves us. And the prodigal, He gives him the, and He waits for him every day and He yearns for him and He waits for His son to come home. But He gives him, He loves us so much. He gives us free will. There's a song that predestination people make fun of. It's called the Whippoorwill Song. Look it up on the, Google it up sometime. And that's basically the message of it. God loves you so much that He will let you go. It's only a willing love that He'll accept. He won't force us to love Him back. But isn't it wonderful to love God back? I love it. See, repentance is hard work, but it's easy when we love God. You know, we see something in our life. Okay, God, if You really want that out of my life, I want to get rid of it. I want to repent. Help me, God. Help me get rid of this. Because I want to be there and I want to eat that tree of life. I want to be in the paradise of God. I want to be an overcomer. We already mentioned the passage in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this is the command we have found from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Doesn't mean I always have to like my brother, but I need to love my brother. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Don't we have a hard time? But Marty, you don't know my brother. Marty, you don't know my neighbors. If you knew my neighbors, well, what are we supposed to do for our neighbor, our enemy? We're supposed to pray for him, right? And so in the church, I hope that we will learn to love more. That the congregations will learn to love more. We're not all going to agree. I mean, you know, Kurt and I, we don't agree on everything, but I think he agrees almost to everything that I say. That's why I love him so much. He just, yeah, Marty, you're right. Yeah, Marty, he tells me I'm right all the time, right, brother? I think. Yeah. Hey, see, there it is. See, I got him. See, that's why I love him so much. He just agrees with me on everything. No, I'm kidding about that. No, he's taught me a lot of stuff. Because we love each other to learn to listen to each other. And even if we don't agree, we can lovingly agree to disagree. We want to go to heaven. And love does, I think I read somewhere, love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't mean that it's a license for sin or none of that kind of thing, but it through grace that we love each other and we say, you know, I want to keep praying for you. I've got this Bible study going with this whole group of people that don't believe like me on Facebook, but they'll listen to me because we love each other. And we spent this whole, and I don't usually do this, but I love these people so much. I met them through gardening, and then we got to be really good friends. And I spent these hours. I mean, I even dreamed how I could teach them about how to be saved. Man, did I ever learn. But at the end of it, I don't know that I got them to agree that once you're saved, you need to be baptized right away. That's as far as I could get them. But I figured through the exercise and lovingly showing them, a lot of these folks don't like the book of Acts. I learned that through this whole thing. They want to skip over Acts. They don't want to talk about Acts. But I lovingly brought them to the book of Acts. And we looked at Acts. We went through Acts. And they got mad at me. And I kept loving them. And I kept saying, but let's look back. But what about this person? And these very same people that say keep things in their context. When it comes to that, they're all over the place. Old Testament, New Testament, people on the cross. All this, and you just got to keep loving them. And I know through that exercise that some of them have learned the truth. And that's all that God calls us to do. Oh, I wish we had more time. We have a few more minutes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a very important thing. And it's important for all of us, and it's important for church leadership especially, on any level. And really, it's important for everybody to know. This is something so important. The church and the home are supposed to be the places where love abounds.
They're supposed to be the model for a broken, unloving world. And we live in a broken, unloving world. Just look at politics. Man, I've had to repent so much on politics. I found myself saying stuff about people that I don't even know just because the media says it. And then you really investigate, do I really know this is true? And I'm saying stuff, and the mocking and all the kind of stuff that goes on. And they, but I know I'm right, and I know this person's so bad, and do we really? I don't know, I'm working on that. Pray for me. I've been trying to refrain. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm trying to win these people that don't believe like me on politics. I want to win them to Jesus. I want to see them in heaven. So it's a struggle. I think it's a struggle for all of us as Christians. How do we respond? I know we're supposed to respond in love, but in the church, we need to really love each other. We need to come every time. See, people think the people of the world think love's just this emotion and falling in love and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about husbands and wives really loving each other, working. And it's a lot of work. You know, my wife and I are so different. And I was, for many years, I was listening to another sermon on this preacher, and I was driving down, I was running mail again, and I was driving down, and I like to listen to these sermons of other preachers, and he was talking about this very topic. He said, you people are always complaining. You know, God puts opposites together for a reason sometimes. They opposites attract, you know, and you're only seeing the negative part, but there's positives to opposites attracting, and you need to quit griping and complaining about it. And you need to learn to love the opposite because God gave that person to you. So you need to start thanking God instead of complaining to God. Man, you know, whoa, this guy's preaching to me. You know, my wife and I are really, you know, she's really loud. Louder than me. No, I'm just kidding. She's not loud. You know, she's very quiet, very shy, you know. And what he said, though, he said, use that for the glory of God. Learn to love your spouse. Be thankful. But, you know, my wife has really helped me out a lot. Otherwise, I'd really be a tigger, man. Nobody would want to be around me. She's already calmed down. Lower your voice. Do I need that sometimes? I kind of do, don't I? Now, the people that are kind of deaf don't think so. But, you know, the ones that can hear well, they say, hey, man, enough. And so she helps moderate me. And I've helped her be more social. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord. Love is amazing. So in 1 Corinthians 12, you have the church. And you have these miraculous gifts. And think about if you were in the church and you had all these miraculous gifts. And I'm going to make sure and check my clock. My clock's thing wore out because I check it too many times. It's a Fitbit. That's why I'm pounding on it. What time do we got, guys? I don't see a clock in the back like you're supposed to have. Okay, good. I've got 4 minutes. Okay, good. I don't want to go over time. So we got time, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, they have 9 miraculous gifts of the Spirit, but not everybody got them. So think if you're in the Corinthian church and you were like us. You had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the greatest gift. God in you. But you didn't have miraculous gifts. And it seemed like tongue speaking was the main one. And they really prize tongue speaking. You know how it is. You know how the flesh is. You know how people are. And you didn't get any of it. And you're feeling, oh man, that person can prophesy. That person can do that. That person can do healings. What about me, Lord? And you're feeling kind of insignificant in the church. Now, we don't have that today, but we have this. You say, well, I don't know where I fit. I don't know how this is going to work. And so he says, basically, if you read 12 through 20, we're not going to read it, but you can. That's your homework assignment. Every part is important. And the ones we deem less important, give double honor to. Why is this important? I have 2 stories for you tonight. I don't have time for both of them. I'll do one of them. Some of you may have read this story. It was in Chicken Soup for the Soul. I knew I read it. I love to read books. I just love to read stories, good stories, happy stories. I always like in forever after stories, you know, the romantic ones. I don't like the bad ending ones because our life's not going to end bad. It's going to end good. You know, so maybe that's why I like the romantic stories. You know, and if it's a bad ending, I change it. You know, they have the DVD, different endings nowadays. I did that when I was a kid. I said, nah, I don't like that story. I'm going to change it to this.
You know, because I know heaven's for all of us Christians, and happily we'll be there after in heaven. So this is a good story. There was these kids, and there was a private school next to a public school, and this kid was walking home. It was a Friday, and he's walking home. He saw this kid, and he had all these books. He's carrying books. What a nerd. He's carrying all these books. And the kids from the private school were up there picking on him and knocking his books down, and the kid kind of got mad because he was, you know, he didn't realize that wasn't right. So he went over there and he got the bullies away from him, and the kid was kind of astonished someone cared and helped him pick up the books, and he was crying, and he said, "Don't cry," and they got to talking, and they found out they liked sports, and they became fast buddies by the time they got to his house. And he said, "Hey, you know, I'll look forward to seeing you next Monday. You know, we'll get together." And I think they said, well, let me come over to your house and spend some time over the weekend. So they became friends. And then Monday came, and they would meet after school and walk home. And one kid was trying to make sure the bullies didn't pick on him. And that kind of thing. And things went great. And the kid that was being picked on became an incredible student. So much so, they became the valedictorian. And he got to speak. And so his good buddy came to the speech, of course. And his friend got up and spoke. And he said, "I want to thank my friend." I can't remember the guy's name. He said, "There was a day that we met. And I'd actually cleaned out all my books out of my locker because I didn't want my parents to have to go back to the school and clean them out. Because I was planning on going home and killing myself. Had it all planned out." And he said, "When this friend of mine came and kind of rescued me and helped me out and dried my tears, I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I have a friend." My dear brethren, I say all that to say this, that because of God's love, we are the hope. We are the love. We are the friends. And we don't know what people are going through. It might look like they have it all together. But we need to love people more. We need to love our neighbors more. I'll give you one more story. I got to give you the last story. I read this years ago. It's touched my heart. It's after World War II, and Germany had bombed London, England. An American GI was stationed over there, he was driving home from an all-night watch. He was very tired. He wanted to get home, get to the barracks, go to sleep. And he pulls up to a four-way stop. It was a very cold day. It was very foggy out. And he saw this kid. And there were a lot of orphans at that time. Parents had died. And this kid was emaciated. And he was just, it shocked him so much. He stopped his Jeep, and he gets out of the Jeep, and he goes up, and he stands behind the kid. And the kid has his hands pressed to the window. And his stomach was groaning. He was starving. The American GI, got to do something about this. And in there was this piping hot donuts coming out of the fryer. He went in there and ordered 12 of them. And he took them out and he gave them to the kid. And the kid just looked at him and was astonished. And he turned around, he smiled, and he turned around, and he walked back. And he was about halfway across the street. And this kid ran up to him and tugged on his jacket. And he turned and he looked at the little boy. And the little boy looked up at him and he said, "Sir, are you God?" And so we are never more like our Father when we learn to love people, when we take the time to help them, to encourage them. So my prayer is for me and for you, let's let love abound. Let's excel even more, as Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 4. Let's have a dynamic discontent for loving God, for loving others, and for loving self. That's the whole law and prophets, the first and second commandments, all summed up in that. Let us learn to love more. This evening, if you need to become a Christian, whatever your need may be, God is here. The invitation's offered. Come while we stand and sing.
Let's go ahead and stand. Let's sing. Six hundred and fifty.